The Sexual Assault Responder Network, number 3.
Educational, human-centered, and encouraging content that makes a difference. This is Module Online Training.
It's the Sexual Assault Responder Network. I'm John Alexander. This pandemic has been challenging for us all on many levels. But how do you think this affected sexual assaults and abuse here in the U.S.? Not many people have given this much thought. However, organizations like the Rape, Abuse, and Incest National Network, or RAIN for short, have reported the largest number of calls in their organization's 27-year history.
We served the largest number of individuals in our history in 2020, more than 320,000 visitors to the hotline, both the phone and the online hotline.
That's Heather Drevna, the Vice President of Communications at RAIN.
In addition to that, we saw the two biggest months in our history last May and June with more than 30,000 visitors.
Over the course of 2020, as the abuse and sexual assault numbers continued to rise, RAIN saw a disturbing increase in one particular area of abuse and sexual assaults.
Since the pandemic started, we've seen the proportion of minors coming to the hotline cross the 50% threshold. That service is a way that they can really speak anonymously, and they can reach out for help in a way that feels comfortable to them and in their language.
RAIN is best known for their National Sexual Assault Hotline. Since 1994, RAIN has served about 3.6 million people through their hotline. Both survivors of sexual violence and their loved ones have been served. And with that, RAIN is the nation's largest anti-sexual violence organization and the leading authority on sexual violence, according to their website.
We were founded in 1994 by Scott Berkowitz, who is still our current president. And Scott was talking with a lot of friends and they were talking about sexual violence and their experiences. It came up as part of that discussion that there was no national resource. There were other national hotlines at the time, but there were none for survivors of sexual violence. And so survivors were really left to this patchwork of resources and had to do a lot of work on their own to find services that could help them. And Scott, being the entrepreneurial guy that he is, thought, well, wouldn't it be great if we could create a national hotline that could connect all of these local sexual assault service providers anywhere in the country and route people to the services near them that would be most relevant for them, but also provide services and direct support for folks who don't live near centers, who can't get that kind of help, or who really are craving the anonymity that the hotline provides and might not want to go to a center or talk to somebody in person. And so that's how the hotline started, started as a telephone only service. A couple of years later, we added the first online crisis support hotline as well, which works sort of like an instant messaging chat service, which is right now a very popular outlet for children, for minors especially.
But RAIN does not only serve survivors or victims of sexual violence through their hotline.
Our focus has broadened over time. Victim services is still the heart of what we do, and the hotline is definitely a big piece of that. As I said, we're serving about 26,000 people a month right now on our victim services hotlines. But our mission has broadened over the year to focus on prevention and public education as well. We want to make sure people not only know about the hotline and its availability, but that they understand sexual violence. They know how they can take steps to help others as well and support others and to bring this issue out into the light.
Serving survivors of sexual assault and their loved ones directly is one way RAIN is trying to influence change. Another is their involvement in public policy work. At the state and federal levels, RAIN is trying to pass legislation to be more supportive of survivors and help bring perpetrators to justice.
Our public policy team is working more and more at the state level. So they started our state work in earnest in 2019. This year, we've been working in 5 states. So this year, we were working in Florida, Georgia, Indiana, Ohio, and Virginia. Our public policy team is small but mighty, and so they have been tackling a number of issues from statutes of limitations to getting more trauma-informed victim interviewing training for law enforcement. Of course, the rape kit backlog is a big issue. We did see a number of rape kit tracking systems implemented at the state level as well.
According to endthebacklog.org, over the course of the last 2 years, 20-plus states have passed laws requiring sexual assault kit audits or some type of mandatory submission guidelines. This type of data is encouraging, and the progress is due in large parts to the efforts of a project called the Sexual Assault Kit Initiative, or SAKI for short. This is Erin Earp, Legislative Policy Counsel with RAIN.
So SAKI stands for the Sexual Assault Kit Initiative, and it is a competitive grant-based program for law enforcement agencies to apply for funding to reform the way that they approach sexual assault cases, particularly cases that are a result of newly tested sexual assault kits. So sexual assault kits that were in the rape kit backlog. And now, because we have new funding for that and we are changing this conversation around sexual assault kit testing, there are a lot of new kits and new evidence being analyzed. And then you have all of the things that have to come after that. SAKI funding assists jurisdictions to change the way that they handle those cases and create that capacity to work those cases.
SAKI is made up of several team partners, and one of those is RAIN.
We are also one of SAKI's training and technical assistance partners. So as part of SAKI, there is a team of different organizations with subject matter expertise that assist SAKI grantees in developing their policies, protocols. RAIN is one of those partner organizations, and we provide assistance to sites as needed with the work that they're doing.
The SAKI grant allows jurisdictions to inventory the existing numbers of unsubmitted sexual assault kits, test these kits, and assign designated personnel for investigations and prosecutions. SAKI also allows jurisdictions to develop and implement evidence kit tracking systems, which allow kits to be tracked by personnel throughout the process. The process of the kit through the system can also be tracked by survivors. Funding can also be used to train responders on sexual assault investigations, conduct research on outcomes in cases, and increase the collection of offender DNA for uploads to CODIS, the National DNA Database, which often leads to the identification of serious and serial sex offenders. But another important part SAKI funding will assist with is an often overlooked part, the support of survivors throughout the criminal justice system.
A lot of the resources are specifically focused on cold case investigations because a lot of these DNA results are coming from kits that were not tested for any number of years. But when we're talking about re-engaging with a survivor who may be in a very different place in their life, may have a lot of people in their life now that do not know about what happened to them in the past, they may not want them to know, how do you go about reaching out to this person? Because from a prosecution standpoint or an investigative standpoint, getting a DNA match on a cold case sexual assault is great. And, you know, you may be really ready to go full speed ahead with this case, but it's going to look very different for a survivor who is going to have to revisit a lot of very traumatic experiences, not just the sexual assault itself, but also the ways in which the case was handled. There may be things that were re-traumatizing about the way that that person was treated, either by law enforcement or just the system in general, and may have a lot of feelings about having to re-engage and to mindfully think through what that means for a survivor and to come up with procedures to make sure that that person is supported and that person has control over how that process goes forward is very important.
SAKI means coming to terms with how sexual assaults have been treated historically, and a big part of that is addressing the rape kit backlog, taking a look at why these kits were never tested, and why these kits sat on the shelf for so many years. Survivors go through an intrusive and often long process of rape kit collection. Survivors deserve swift and fair investigations, and it's good to see that the Sexual Assault Kit Initiative, through RAIN and other organizations, are taking it upon themselves to drive this process forward. Here's Heather Drevna, one more time, giving you the details on how to reach the National Sexual Assault Hotline.
The National Sexual Assault Hotline is available 24/7, 365. It's free and confidential, completely anonymous. We do not track any internet data. We don't keep any personally identifying information. It's available at 800-656-HOPE, which is 4673, or via online chat at rain with two n's.org. You can also find a lot of information on all of these topics on our website at www.rainwith2ns.org.
Thank you so much for listening. Subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss an episode. It's available anywhere you can get podcasts. My name is John Alexander. We'll see you back here in a month.